recording.
Have you guys checked out TitanTV.com?
What is that?
Very nice. Well, it's going to take over from Yahoo, basically. Yahoo's so screwed the pooch here, you know, with their TV listing service. It's time to give up on them, basically.
What was that whole brouhaha about it anyway?
They broke it. You know, we just signed. I have a bookmark in on all 15 of my computers called TV. And when I click on it, it takes me to tv.yahoo.com, and which is the customized TV listings page for where I live. And, you know, it's no brainer. It's real simple. And it could be better, but it works fine. Well, a few days ago, I clicked on the link, and it was 404. So did everybody, by the way. They broke the damn thing. And then when you finally figure out where you're supposed to go, what used to take seconds now takes minutes. And nobody wants to spend minutes trying to figure out what's on TV. It's the kind of thing where, you know, it's, you know, you don't want to do it. So, and then all their feedback, they're going, oh, well, we really appreciate the feedback. Fix it! Fuck you! I don't want to give you feedback. And so then Jason, Mike Arrington runs a thing saying that we're all the Yahoo users are trashing Yahoo. And we're not trashing Yahoo. We're just saying, fix it.
And, that's ridiculous. You know,
right. This is the whole thing about difference between users and vendors.
Right.
And vendors have their head up their ass. They take everything personally. They, you know, somewhere in there, somebody decided that it was okay to break all the users, you know?
Crazy.
Well, it's not. It's not okay to break all the users. That's how you lose your business.
No doubt. Okay, so I'm at 1 minute and 50 seconds. Let me just make sure this gets past 2 minutes, and that means that recording software is no longer at the two-minute level, and it looks like it's going to do it. And it's not playing me the banner that says, upgrade to the premium version.
What's the name of this stinky software you're using, by the way?
It's called Hot Recorder. H-O-T Recorder.
Hot Recorder? You mean like it records pot?
No, hot.
Here.
H-O-T. Exactly.
Here.
Yeah.
Here.
This is not the daily source code.
I have a little joke I could tell about that if you want.
About Adam Curry?
About, yes. But doing podcasts with Adam Curry, everybody thinks I'm a pot smoker.
Yeah, exactly. Because on his show, he does the constant like clicking of his lighter. Okay, it looks like we're golden. It's recording at 2 minutes and 30 seconds, which is 30 seconds more than it did last time. Okay, and...
Are we... So we're going to have that whole thing? Let's just go ahead and make that part of the podcast, okay?
The whole screw-up and everything. Yeah, I think we should.
Yeah, fuck it. It's the way you do this stuff.
Okay, so welcome to Calacanis Cast, Beta 7. I am here with Dave Weiner, the founder of...
How many
RSS,
times do you do this, Jason?
OPM at, I got to do it because you know what? There's people who listen to the podcast who don't know what any of this is, so I try to be a little magnanimous about it. So, Dave,
why don't we try this version of the podcast where we're all real jerks? That would come hard to any of us, right?
Exactly.
I mean, based on what I've heard about all of it. Well, not you, Peter.
Not Peter, everybody no, actually. Nice Peter's guy. Actually known as a nice
wow.
guy.
I keep a low profile.
We can give you some lessons, though, if you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
If you want to learn from the masters.
Yeah,
Peter, everybody loves Peter, except for the people who, didn't get linked to that day for the, you know, 787 people who reported that the iPhone is coming out. So the one person who got the link, you know, is fine. The other 760 people are very upset.
Yeah, I think it's hard to for a lot of people to understand that you know, there's so many sites out there now all covering the same exact stuff that it's almost becoming arbitrary who you link to for something.
It's impossible to know where it started. I mean,
yeah, but we always, you know, I mean, obviously you always try to link back to the most original source of stuff, but sometimes, you know, I mean, it's blogging, right? It's supposed to be just sort of a fluid, decentralized medium.
Right. And
you're all supposed to point to me.
and you're capable of making a mistake, too. So,
I'm feeling feisty now. Yeah, this is terrible.
We're here to discuss the... RWC player, as I dubbed it on my blog.
And I'm glad that my name's first.
Of course.
Of course, I
put myself
course.
Last because I know I'm the least important in this
We're
world.
Kissing up to you, Peter.
Yeah. Well, so basically, you know, I know Dave has had over the years a lot of discussions about users in charge. Peter has talked about all the problems with the various players and is an expert on that. And I, as an unemployed person, was making a list of all the things I was thinking about doing, including becoming a professional poker player, which was a lot more serious of a comment than making an MP3 player with Peter Rojas, which was a total joke and was something that Peter and I had joked about back in the day And all of a sudden now, I am getting emails from VCs. You guys are meeting. People are actually saying this is possible. So my question to you guys is it possible for us to create an MP3 player that would be better than the iPod for us, for this type of user?
Well, for podcasting, I don't have any doubt, because I don't think these players are particularly good at doing podcasting. There's so much of it needs to be done manually, and they're dangerous to use for podcasting. You try, you know, listening to a podcast while you're walking or driving or whatever, and you take your life in your hands. So a lot of it is just the tuning this idea up. Is like, what would a mobile podcast player / receiver, and here's an important concept, a recorder too. I can't think of a single platform that's ever succeeded where you couldn't use the playing device to also create the software for that platform. The Apple II, you know, is the earliest example of that. For me, you know, the Apple II was a perfectly fine development system for Apple II software. So was the IBM PC, so was the Macintosh, so is the internet for that matter. And so a podcast player should also be a podcast creator as well. Yeah, I don't doubt that there's a need for something that is specifically tuned. I mean, there's another aspect to this too, also, that these devices are all getting this, you know, very hairy DRM, and podcasting totally doesn't need DRM, you know. So
right.
All of the inconvenience that comes from a device that's all focused on DRM, just throw all that out, because it wouldn't be on this device. There just simply wouldn't be any DRM there anywhere.
And that's one of the biggest complications when it comes to making a consumer electronics device, is that, you know, when you have to make it compatible with all these DRM systems, it just adds a layer of complexity that really shuts out a lot of smaller competitors, right?
Layer of brokenness, Peter. I mean, it's why these things don't work.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's one of the big mistakes that Microsoft's made with the Zune, is that they basically have tried to, you can't out-Apple Apple at this game, because Apple has it on lockdown, and it's a complete, you know, seamless lockdown, crappy DRM, you know, laden experience. And why would you want to try to outdo that?
No, you should zig to their zag. In other words, Apple's strength, the thing Apple could never respond to is a DRM-less device. They would have to stay with what they're doing or walk away from all the revenue that they've been able to achieve with the iPod.
If I'm hearing correctly, the Zune crippling the Wi-Fi, and for those people who are not up on this, the Zune is Microsoft's player, and they crippled the Wi-Fi in it.
It's not just crippling the Wi-Fi, it's just crippled, period. I mean,
right.
Yeah. But the crippled Wi-Fi is really so they put in the Wi-Fi, and that was touted as, you know, sort of the iPod killing aspect of it. But what it is it's so limited in its functionality that if you want it, you can share a song, but you're restricted to 3 plays in 3 days.
It's the saddest thing. It's sad. It's just sad.
It's almost embarrassing, and you can't use the Wi-Fi to download music direct or any sort of content directly to the device. You can't use it. I mean, you can't do anything with the Wi-Fi except share a song in this very limited capacity,
which makes it basically worthless. I mean, the whole point of the Wi-Fi, the killer feature that we've all hit on is, because I think we all listen to a lot of podcasts, is I'm out with my iPod, I'm walking around, there's Wi-Fi signals everywhere. Why can't it be checking my RSS feeds, my OPML, to download stuff as I'm walking around?
Yeah. It's like a radio, Jason. I mean, you know, this thing, when you finally play it out, it starts to feel a lot like a radio. But it's an internet device, and it's very, very low tech protocol. You know, it would be a wonderful thing to have the thing. Adam Curry and I were brainstorming this stuff on the first podcast we did together in 2004. And what we talked about then was the idea of going into like a gas station and parking yourself there for a few minutes while your, you know, iPod or whatever, or your car for that matter. Your car sort of gassed up on gas, and it gassed up on great new, you know, shows, new radio or new podcasts, right? We didn't have the word podcast at that time. Today, though, like for example, I was living in Seattle at the time. Today, Seattle has WiMAX covering the entire downtown area. So you wouldn't even need to go anywhere in particular. Your thing could just be logged on and, you know, constantly checking your feeds. And it would be wonderful. I think it would just be fantastic.
So what do you think about Peter, since you know a lot about sourcing these things and the construction of them in China and the manufacturing of them, on a feasibility level, we sort of have a very basic spec here.
Why would you want to go to China? I would say create a reference platform, the same way Microsoft creates reference platforms for hardware OEMs. In other words, you know, people have given me a lot of grief. Say you don't want to be in the hardware business. And I say, you're right, I don't want to be in the hardware business. But what I do feel comfortable being in is the reference platform business. In other words, here, these are the basic features that you need to support in order to be one of these devices. And then we create a platform that you can develop software on, and I think we really got something.
Well, that would be the platform level. Let me ask Peter about actually making the device, because somebody's got to make it. So,
yeah.
Peter, yeah. If the basic spec is Wi-Fi enabled, for podcasting, a recorder like a microphone, a decent microphone for podcasting, I guess the ability to upload again, and the basic software would be pretty easy, and either Compact Flash, which would be my preference because I like the idea of removing the stuff and not having a hard drive because I hate the short battery life of it. How much do you think this thing would actually cost? How many would you have to produce? Because I don't think a lot of people understand the manufacturing process. What do people go through when they make a small device like this? And are there any people who already do it that we could sort of learn from?
Yeah, so I think Dave got a big part of it when he says that it's the really important part. It tends to be the reference design, right? Because these contract manufacturers in Taiwan or in China, they'll build whatever you want, but you still have to know what it is that you want to build, and you still have to have things spec'd out. And they might have some basic stuff that you can build on top of, but you still have to be able to integrate the software and the hardware, and they'll customize it however you want. I think that you'd have to get it'd be pretty expensive, the per unit cost, if you didn't have if you had fewer than 50,000 or 100,000 units of something like this.
Right.
But again, I mean, if we were going primarily after the sort of the bleeding edge enthusiast market who aren't necessarily about having the cheapest device possible, about having the most powerful device possible, then I think that you can get away with charging a little bit more.
Yeah, totally.
I
want the right device. It's not so much that I want the most powerful one. I want one that is basically right, and I want to be able to make it more right.
Change the software, upgrade it, change the battery, take
out
the compact flash.
It's got to be programmable. I got to be able to put software on the damn thing. That's
right.
My number one. I mean, after everything else, also it needs to have a big enough screen so that it's visible, so you don't have to stop walking or driving in order just to be able to read the screen. So the screen is also an important component as well.
Yeah.
I don't care. The hard drive isn't important, whether it has a hard drive or not. To me, first of all, that is something that you can have, five different versions of the damn thing, one which has a hard drive, one which doesn't,
Yeah. There is an open source operating system for, digital audio players called Rockbox, which has actually been floating around for, I think, about 5 years or so. And, people have actually been able to...
Is that the thing that Phil Terone was talking about?
I think he might have been talking about Rockbox. It's there are different devices that people have been able to flash it onto. Some of the Arcos players and some of the iRiver players. So, I mean, I think in some respects, like the basic framework is already out there, and you could take something like Rockbox, which is licensed under the GPL, and kind of customize it and in a sense popularize it. I think that's one of the problems is that Rockbox doesn't really have a champion.
Let's go. Let's adopt it. Go.
And it's funny. It's actually I sat down with SanDisk a few months ago, and I actually am a fan of their Sansa line of players because it's a great alternative to both the Zune and the iPod. And I told these guys, get behind Rockbox. You should be, opening up your platform because you're never going to be able to. You're never going to have more engineering dollars than Microsoft
or
Apple.
What did they say?
They actually are taking some steps to open themselves up and to sort of unofficially support Rockbox on their players.
Their thing is very close, but it's not as good as an iPod. I mean, I've had one myself, and it just stopped working, and I had to go through their whole support system and all their online docs and everything like that, and it just isn't good enough. I mean, Sansa was close, but not there.
Yeah. Oh, I think what I like. I mean, I think that they're still relatively new to the space, so I think. Mm-hmm. But they're
talking to you, and so that's a really good sign. You're not going to get your phone call returned by Apple, I don't think.
Only when they're usually upset about something.
Really? Oh, that's better than me. I mean, I think I upset them all the time, but I can't recall ever getting a phone call from them.
The ironic thing is I have, I think, 5 or 6 iPods here, a couple of other types of players. I have a camera that plays stuff, and none of these give me what I want, which is I've become addicted to the podcasts, and I just want to be able to get them as quickly as possible and have as many with me. And when I go on the road, it's like I try to hook up my iPod to my laptop, and it's always, you know, wiping out what I have on there. And I mean, I have 4 laptops, 2 desktops. I mean, it's never enough with the iPod software.
Well, the thing to take away, I totally agree, and I've had exactly the same experience. And I think that the first piece of advice, the first thing it took me a long time to learn this, is don't try synchronization. Forget about that. Because once you get into synchronization, you have 50 copies of things floating around all over the place. And the iPod doesn't do synchronization well, especially if you have 2 or 3 computers.
Right.
At which point, you end up losing stuff, and it's not predictable when you're going to lose it. People tell me that I'm wrong, I'm brain damaged, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, or whatever. But, you know, I guess I'm good.
I have the same exact experience.
I know. I think a lot of people do. I have a friend who's a technology sort of neophyte, and she's put $2,000 worth of iTunes into her iPod and lost everything. And they're not letting her have new copies of anything. They say, well, you're pirating from us. So it's like, all right, that's the end of that. You know, it's not a good system. It's just not a good system. And,
well,
you know,
I refuse to use any software application to load music onto my device.
Yeah.
I think mistake.
So that means you don't use an iPod then, right?
Yeah, no, I that's why I won't. I've never owned an iPod, and I don't ever want to own an iPod, to be honest.
Really? See, I use an iPod. That's what I use. It's the best of them all, you know.
Yeah, but what I like about the Sansa, about the E200 series, is that you can put it into USB mass storage mode and just drag and drop your files onto the device, and that is what I want.
Yeah.
Do you use pod catching software for that, Peter?
I actually have it built into my RSS reader. Yeah. So.
Oh, so RSS reader
just dumps it to a folder, and then I just put the folder onto my player.
Mine too. I wrote my own, of course. Yeah.
So what happens if, like, let's say we, because I'm thinking on a business level. I know what's good about this conversation is you have Peter who's thinking on a design level. You got Dave. You know how what's all available with the software. I'm thinking about this on a marketing sort of business plan level.
Yeah, and I think that's a great team. Let's do it.
Yeah.
I think you'd be a good business guy. You want to be our business guy?
Well, the thing I think that's interesting is if we did 1,000 or, let's say, a run of 10,000 of these, if we could get the spec done, we could open source everything, right? So we use the Rockbox software. We need to get a development team, I guess. Then we need to have some level of marketing for this. But we could just pre-sell, as I said on my blog, 1,000 of these or 10,000 of these, pre-sell them, put the money into, like, you know, so people know it's not going to get, you know, stolen or whatever. You have 3 real names associated with the project. And then have somebody actually build it, get some prototypes going, and then build 10,000 of them and ship them. I mean, it can't be that easy, is it? It just sounds confusing to me that you could actually build 10,000 of these things that easily.
Well, you're going to put this podcast up, right?
Yeah.
And it's going to go up when, tomorrow or something like that?
Put it up tonight.
Okay, we'll put it up tonight. So by tomorrow morning, we'll have 80,000 people telling us we're crazy. Right. And 80,000 people hopefully saying, let's go, we really want this. And so, and then we, you know, get back together again, we talk about it, and we see what we learned. I mean, you know, I think we've already put out enough there in terms of the blog posts that, I don't know, Peter, have you done one? I did one, and Jason did one.
I did a few posts on my personal site. I haven't done anything on Engadget yet.
Yeah, it's a little...
Because that's probably, that's like a step in right into the battle zone.
I wouldn't do
well,
that.
Well, yeah, because you're talking to that's talking about competing with the people you cover.
I don't necessarily want to go there. You know, it's not yet. But I think at worst, especially since we're doing this all in public, I think the very worst that can happen is that companies that we're talking about are maybe going to steal some of our ideas, which wouldn't be the end of the world.
And in fact, what would be even better than stealing our ideas would be steal them and then get us to endorse the goddamn product, you know? let us profit a little bit from your stealing of our ideas. You know, this is part of the problem in the technology industry, that people are so cheap. You know, I once had this argument, I won't say who, which it was with a big media company, who I had just done what amounted to a breakthrough idea for them, and I didn't get an agreement with them up front or anything. And so I'm showing it to them. They say, well, thanks very much. Why should we pay you anything? I said, well, when you go to a restaurant, like, you don't have to leave a tip, but do you? I mean, you know, don't you appreciate good service? You know, and so, if we could do it on that basis, I'd be perfectly happy just to sort of say, okay, this is the podcasting client that we spec'd out, that we designed, that we love, and we're keeping our eye on it, too. And we're making sure they don't screw it up. And if they screw it up, you can be sure we're going to tell you that they screwed it up, right? I mean, Jason, you did that at AOL. That's probably why you got fired, right? I mean,
I left on my own. If only I had been fired, I could use the severance check.
Well, I know. I had to say that. It's like, I love you, Jason.
Can't talk to Jason anymore.
I mean, you know, so, I mean, I'm perfectly comfortable with criticizing, you know, biting the hand that feeds me is something I'm very good at doing, you know.
Yes, uniquely qualified for it.
So, I mean, that would be, a pretty incredible deal, actually. So,
I mean,
you know,
you could look at it like an art project, Peter. Like, I don't think that this will ever has to compete with iTunes or anything like that. It's just, as an art project, we're making, like, it's like an art car, you know, for Burning Man. It's like we're making an art, you know,
awesome. I love it.
Podcast thing. It's like, we're just going to make these because we like them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have a nice logo on them, and people buy them and be like an item they could keep forever. Now, let me ask you something about this, because I know, Dave, I think you mentioned this on your blog. The idea of Wi-Fi to Wi-Fi, people tend to poo-poo that idea because there's not enough people who have devices that could do Wi-Fi to Wi-Fi, like sort of the Zune problem, right? I mean, you have a Zune, nobody else does. What's the point of even having the crippled Wi-Fi that's on it? Do you think that this idea of sending songs back and forth is really compelling? Do you think people would do it if there were enough of these out there?
Well,
you want to go?
Well, I was going to say, I mean, I think, you know, imagine if a Zune could share songs with, you know, a laptop. I mean, why does it have to be just another Zune?
Well, because they're not doing it in an open protocol, but you could do
that's
it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. With right. something, a device
no,
that's
I mean, you know,
an open
you
standard,
had,
so, yeah, we could,
right.
we
as
could
soon
make
as
it
you
so
you
could support any device.
I figured it out as he was asking the question. There's only one missing piece. I mean, obviously the format you would use is RSS, and every device, basically, as it's, you're walking around, would have a default RSS feed that's all the things that you're willing to share, right? And so when you come in range of somebody who's got one of these feeds, then you just grab whatever the hell you know. Then you tell your I call these things X pods, you know, sort of like it's like X windows was sort of like the open windowing system. So your X pod sees that there's another X pod floating around and says, hey, you got one of those, you know, RSS feeds, and it comes back and says yes. And so you've told your guy in advance what to do when it sees one of those things. And then the rest of it's just RSS with enclosures. I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be very high tech at all for it to work. And it's exactly the kind of thing that fits right in with the RSS program. In other words, you know, it's the kind of thing where we just put up a one page, you know, here's a little spec for how this thing works. And if the time is right, it gains traction. If the time is not right, we get a flame war over it, you know.
Let me ask this, Peter, because you have a lot of experiences with the, with you know, just covering gadgets and stuff like that. If a device like this existed out there where you could, you know, shoot files back and forth, and it was called an MP3 player as opposed to a laptop, you think the RIA and people would start suing people who had these?
You know, I don't know on what basis they would be able to sue.
Wait, doesn't he have to be a lawyer to have an opinion about that?
But he covers all these lawsuits, so I mean.
Well, first off, I mean, there actually have been – the Zune is not the first MP3 player with Wi-Fi. There are other devices with Wi-Fi out there. But, I mean, I can't see on what legal basis they would be able to sue.
Right.
We just say it's a podcast. Then it's not an MP3 player. It's a podcast.
Right. It's a
device.
Podcast device. Period. And,
in which
you know.
But I think there's so many devices out there with Wi-Fi that can share files.
Well, the beautiful thing about podcasting, by the way, is that all these big media companies do them.
Right.
They all have podcasts. NBC, ABC, CBS. I don't know if MTV has it, but Viacom certainly does.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they need to take a look at whether or not they really want to be in the podcasting world, because they're in it right now, and they're like, this is a podcasting device. It's not for sharing music, you know, unless you happen to be podcasting music, in which case, sure.
I have the ultimate marketing plan for this, because I was just thinking about this, like, imagine we preloaded the device with, like, the top 200 or 300 shows out there, you know, just make a list of them, people, and they, each of those people put the badge on their site for the player, right? You could, I'm preloaded on this player. And then imagine we had a, you know, Reddit, Dig, Netscape type service where people could vote MP3 files up and down, you know, podcasts, not MP3 files, podcasts, gotta keep saying that. They could vote podcasts up and down, and then it would pull that RSS feed of the top, you know, 10 of the day, 20 of the day, 30 of the day, whatever you set it at, and it would download them automatically. So when you got in your car, it'd be like, oh, the most voted one today was, yeah, you know, Morning Edition. The second one
yeah,
is...
Yeah, well, that's radio, right? I mean, you're, that's the trip about radio. That's why radio is so cool.
It would just be incredible, like, to just have... Because I right now...
Well, the other thing is that podcasting is a commercial medium, you know? And so a lot of things that people put out on podcasts have commercial value to them. And so throw a few podcast feeds on there, too, that make us some money, you know, pay for some extra, you know, put a few more bytes of RAM in the damn thing and let somebody pay for that with, you know, with some, you know, these otherwise are called ads. There's nothing wrong with
that.
Actually,
right? You know, it'd be really interesting is you could probably subsidize.
But I don't believe in ads. I don't believe in ads in podcasts. I believe that in podcasts that are ads.
You know what? That's interesting you mentioned it, Dave, because I just wanted to point out that this podcast, the Calacanis Cast Beta 7, is brought to you by GoDaddy and PodTech.
Oh, no, no,
PodTech
no, no,
and GoDaddy
no, don't do that. No, no,
are
no.
Donating money to put kids in school in Brooklyn. So it's not a commercial. They're making a donation. So we love GoDaddy for making that donation, and we love PodTech for making that donation. I love both of you guys.
PodTech? Did you say PodTech?
PodTech, great company. Oh. They make great podcasts. But anyway, here's an idea, Dave. I wonder how you would feel about this if it was a little overbearing.
I think I just got snookered here.
How do you feel about GoDaddy? No.
I used GoDaddy.
I used GoDaddy, too.
I bought protoblogger.com, .net, and .org today. Because the New York Times called me the protoblogger, which I thought was great.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what do you think about the idea of having a free version, but the free version had on it that you automatically had these 10 podcasts automatically preloaded all the time?
You know what I say to that? Duh. Yeah, of course.
So like you could just look at it and be like, you know what, I don't want to listen to the New York Times, but it would be like, you know, the player that automatically comes with 10 podcasts. I mean, I would.
Yeah, we could have a whole talk about this, but, you know, commercial information, people spend a lot of time looking for commercial information. And, you know, it's conceivable you might still pay money for a thing that came with all kinds of great commercial information, as long as it was stuff that you were interested in and you found entertaining, you know. I mean, sure, why not pay for it anyway, you know?
Okay, so. Let's see what we have an idea of what the device is. We wanted to make record podcasts, upload them, download them automatically.
Well, it's primarily a player, but it should be able to record them for sure.
And be able to share from player to player, possibly. And
no, not possibly. I think that's a requirement. Yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
And why wouldn't you? It's no big deal. I mean, it's if you have Wi-Fi to download, you have it to send.
Well, it's also how you're going to handle the recording of podcasts, too, is by beaming them at your desktop. Right.
Right. Okay. Or on a Wi-Fi connection, because like this is the thing that would be really interesting. If we were all three of us in a cafe right now with this device, and we hit record and talked, then we hit send, and I already have my settings in there, my FTP settings or whatever, and it would upload it. Then if you guys had the players in your pocket and you were on Wi-Fi, after the upload completed and you did your cycle, you would be downloading it immediately.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'd be willing to bet you that within 2 years we're actually doing that, okay? It may not be with our device, but some way, shape, or form, we will be doing exactly that.
And, you know, that starts to feel more like the phone than it does podcasting.
It has a lot to do. Podcasting and telephones are actually pretty similar, as is radio. It's sort of, it's, you know, we're at one of those moments when a lot of things are like a lot of other things, you know?
It's very blurry, yeah. It's almost like a voicemail system when people used to, you know, have voicemail systems that you couldn't pick up the phone. You could just send the message.
Right.
So you sort of setting my sweet. Well, okay. I don't know that we've accomplished too much on this phone call aside
from. I think we have. We have accomplished a lot. What we've accomplished is we've put out an idea verbally, right. And now we're going to hear what other people have to say about it.
What do you think, Peter? Anything left to add to this? Anything you think that we're missing or you would include in it? One of the things everybody keeps saying on my blog, I keep getting like, oh, make sure you include a radio, an FM radio in it. And I'm like,
no.
I don't know why. No, the
thing I would say is that I would take a cue from devices like the Chumbi, which are these open source, basically, widget platforms. And, you could basically widgetize the player and allow people to upload their own, whether it's a little widget for getting the weather or news headlines or just like any widget you could put on your player, and then, whenever you were connected to the internet, it would pull down the data.
Oh, that's very smart. Right.
I think it would be better to get the radio stations to provide timely information in form that this thing can get it.
Right. So if you're NPR and you're doing it already, you're included. If you're not.
Oh, NPR is so into this stuff. CNN also. They're already doing it. They're doing it without anybody actually using it. CNN has an hourly news broadcast that goes out via podcast.
Maybe.
Every hour, So nobody's built any systems around that yet, but you totally could.
I should go to, NPR, since I have no job now, nothing to do every day. Maybe I should go to
you
NPR
should, absolutely.
Or one of these people and say, give me $100,000 to make 10,000 players.
Oh, you'll never get $100,000.
I can get it for CNN pretty quick.
CNN, maybe, yeah.
Now,
sure.
You don't never know with NPR. They have money or whatever. Or maybe I get five.
Well, what should I say? 20. Go for it, Jason. I get 33,000. Peter gets 33,000.
No, but we get them to do that. What if we got somebody to underwrite it and we put their logo on the player for underwriting it and they have those default feeds and whatever? And
totally.
There are going to be a lot of logos on this thing.
Totally. Yes. Let's make sure it's got lots of room for logos.
I've already basically.
It's going to be like NASCAR.
Yeah, exactly.
It's cool. I like
I'm
logos.
I'm fine with that. I've already committed you, Peter, to autograph the first 1,000. Get your Sharpie ready and make sure you've. And Dave, I think you have to autograph the other side because I think that's going to be half the value as you guys autographing them. But limited edition, 1 to 10,000. All right. Well, this is a very interesting discussion. I'm fascinated by the fact that this little joke and meme that's been out there is now coalescing. And if there are people out there who are thinking about this, who are inspired by this, who are fascinated, who are confused, whatever, there's only one thing you need to do, which is write a blog post, do a podcast on it, and move the idea forward.
Yeah,
take this podcast,
true.
Remix it. Just keep moving the idea forward, because what we're in right now is a high-stakes game of poker between the forces of evil and the forces of good, as I look at it.
And you're the force of evil, right, Jason?
Of course, I've always been, as people know. But no, seriously. This
no,
is
you're a good guy. I'm not, I don't want to say
I really think that this is about the forces of evil versus good. I think, DRM is obviously crippling these devices. These big companies are so in bed with the big media companies that they're willing to compromise the technology and the user experience for the relationship with the media companies, and that's,
I don't think they're evil. I just think
they're dealing with
the situation the best they can, and it's a confusing situation.
Well, no, they're in the game of poker as well. They're in the
right.
game of poker with.
But we come in unencumbered,
right.
Without their concerns, so it makes it a little bit more fun, I think.
Absolutely.
Although we do all have concerns, as Peter said, he's not quite ready yet for. And that's perfectly understandable. I've got to be careful about certain things too, because, unlike you, I do consider this to be my livelihood. This area is an active area of development for me. So I'm not always going to share every idea that I have so freely,
right.
So we all come at it from a different point of view and different place and, but we all want to have a lovely product come out of this at some point,
Well, at the end of the day, I think that's what it's about. We all want a better product.
Yeah.
So, any closing thoughts, Peter?
I'm having a lot of fun with this right now.
It's pretty funny, I think. It's
hey, I'll see you on the 21st, Peter.
Yes. Am I coming? Should I come by your place in Berkeley?
Please. Yeah.
Okay.
It'll be fun. And Jason, if you're in the area, come too.
Unfortunately, I'm going to be in New York with my parents, but I will be up in the area.
I'm
going to
be in New York too, by the way. The week after, yeah.
Oh, I'm coming back on the 27th or 28th. But when you come in L.A., let me know.
That's not very likely to happen anytime soon.
Well, I'll be up there soon enough.
Okay, wait, Jason, cool. I might be down in L.A. Right before New Year's. So.
Okay, well, we're closing on our new house on the 19th or 20th. So.
Dude, I want to be the first one in the guest house.
It might be you might be on a pullout, but if that's okay, there might be some boxes around. But if you're fine with that, you're all set. And
I'll help you unpack.
You can borrow the Mini Cooper again.
Sounds good.
Okay, my friends, I really appreciate you doing this.
Thanks,
I'm
going to
save the MP3 file, and I'll put it up on my blog and send you the URL in an hour or less.
Awesome.
Okay, guys, cheers. Take care. Bye.
Later on. Bye.
Bye.